You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Monday to each and every one of you. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, the healthcare Armageddon that Democrats have been warning about since July, and that I have specifically been talking about with the assistance of my very special first guest this afternoon, is happening. This morning, the Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Insurance released the 2026 projections for many categories of the Affordable Care Act enrollee demographics. And across every demographic, every type of enrollee, we're seeing fairly substantial to breathtaking, is the only word I can use for it, premium increases because Republicans decided to remove the subsidies for purchasing ACA insurance. I've got with me Senator Kristen Dossler-Alfheim. She is, of course, the senator from the fighting 18th Senate District. She's got constituents that will be extraordinarily impacted, especially because, Chris, as you and I have been talking about, we're not just seeing insurers step out of the healthcare exchanges, meaning they are no longer willing to provide insurance through the healthcare, the ACA exchanges. That's happening, but it's specifically happening for nonprofit healthcare insurers, the organizations that we very much want to see remain in the ACA. Kristen, we'll get into some of the specific facts and premium increases in a moment, but this is what you and I and you first talked to me about was this crunch that we were going to see with these rate increases in 2026, specifically leading to nonprofits pulling out. What do you make of the newest data coming out of the OCI and the governor's office today?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've been screaming into a black box for the last few months, and I have been trying desperately to help people realize everyone is affected by this. And those that didn't think they would be affected are being affected. You know, here in the Fox Valley, we have known this for a while. And now today, the factual, you know, verification has come out. Last year on the marketplace, we had seven providers, seven. This year going into the marketplace, we will have three. Those three providers are United, Anthem, and Network Health. All of our nonprofits are gone, which compounds the issue. Many, many people were on the nonprofit programs because why? Well, they were a touch less. They might be 10% less. They might be 15% less, but they saved dollars. So now you remove those options from the category. That immediately means you're taking that uptick of premium by that 10 to 15%. And then you add on the fact that subsidies were being covered for some people, as much as two-thirds of their premium was being covered by the subsidy, which they probably didn't realize.
Right.
Now add in that the rate increases have been released, as I've been saying, 31, 34% increase. Literally, there are people living right around us, farmers, small business people, early retirees, that their premiums are going from $7,000 a year to $25,000 a year. That is legitimately what is going on. And they still don't seem to know it's coming. And that's what's so frustrating. This is why this shutdown conversation, people do not realize the shutdown is being held up because we are passionately trying to get this fixed. This is a short-term band-aid for healthcare, by the way. We all know that. We all know that big changes have to take place to make it healthy. But we also know that everyone in this state, in this country, deserves access to healthcare. So you cannot torpedo plan A unless you have plan B, which they don't have. And until we have a plan B, we have to keep our heads above water in our marketplace system, which means these subsidies cannot go away.
We have to keep our heads above water. If you want or you think the ACA isn't working as you would wish it to, if you don't think healthcare is affordable enough, then by all means, please put some kind of proposal on the table. The problem that I have is listening to Republicans effectively say, we've got some sort of a plan. We've got concepts of a plan. We've got pages and pages. This is Mike Johnson over the last couple of weeks. We're ready to do that. Well, no, you're not. If you would have been ready to do that, you would have done it and Trump won. You tried 60 plus times. You failed every single time to do so. If you were ready to do that, you would have done that when you muscled through the big, brutal bill. You didn't look to reform these programs except to take away these subsidies, which have the direct impact, your own legislation, GOP, to the MAGAs, that is going to deprive millions of Americans of health insurance. If you have a plan, gee whiz, Wisconsinites, folks in the Fox Valley, South Wisconsin, Southwestern, we all deserve to see what the MAGA plan is that is going to make healthcare work to be more affordable. But in the interim, until you've got actionable legislation that has been put forward, what are you doing? It's this sort of absurdist, because we can't do perfect, we won't do enough to get regular folks by right now. That is the definition of government insanity. Right. And it's so two-faced. They passed the legislation to deprive people of the health insurance. Democrats are saying to reopen government, you're going to have to fix that hole that you created, and they're refusing to even talk to Democrats about it.
Yeah, and they forget the fact that the subsidy that went on during COVID, yes, it helped out the people that received the subsidy, but there was also a secondary plan to
impact,
that.
Yes.
To keep the marketplace healthy, we needed more lives insured. More healthier lives spreads the risk out, therefore premiums can be held down. When they put the subsidies in, Wisconsin itself gained, I think, 250 or 270,000 more people into the program, which helped everyone in the program. So now by taking that out, those people are naturally just going to fall back off, which then leads to the spiral of the fewer people, bigger claims, bigger premiums. It literally is just going to blow up. Also, why the nonprofits pulled out, because they can't make the math work with the fewer, with more unhealthy people coming to them and more of the healthy people dropping off going to the catastrophics. And the catastrophics, by the way, that's an 18-month disaster.
Yep.
18 months from the day those people all go onto the catastrophic plans and they start incurring health costs and they go into a financial catastrophe because of it. That's going to be the next crisis we're going to deal with.
It has these cascading impacts, not just for folks that access health insurance through the exchanges. Again, as you pointed out, farmers, small business owners, early retirees, but the huge swaths of gig workers that put together numerous less than full-time jobs to try to make ends meet, they're locked out. And the very significant number of folks that work at businesses so small that their employer is not required to provide them with health insurance, that's a huge swath of people as well. So it has these knock-on impacts that continues basically to pull the rug out from under the ACA. Republicans were unsuccessful, as I pointed out, in repealing, and because they had no replacement, and they still don't, for the Affordable Care Act in Trump 1.0. Where they have failed legislatively, what they are trying to do is basically blow up the underlying economics of how the Affordable Care Act works, and to do by blowing up the economics what they failed utterly to do through direct legislation. Why? Because they understood that Americans would be really angry if they just repealed without a replacement approach the ACA. You know, you look at the favorability ratings of the ACA when it was first adopted to now. It is now huge net positive. You look at enrollees by political affiliation. 45% of enrollees are what? Republicans. Only 35% of enrollees through the ACA are Democrats. So if I'm going to hear a bunch of, well, these people are freeloaders, you're talking about your voters, Republicans, when you say that. So there's so much that does not make sense about this. But let's have some sense about the specific numbers here. I just want to share a little bit with you, Chris. I know you got a ton of stuff to get to today, but I just wanted to get some reactions to some of these numbers. Let's see here. In Barron County, the governor's office, through the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance today, said a six-year-old couple living in Barron County that makes $86,000 annually, the two of them, will see an 812% increase in their health insurance premiums. That means those folks aren't getting insurance. A 26-year-old in Milwaukee County making $46,000 a year is going to see a 43% jump in their premiums. A 40-year-old living in Marathon County, 36%. It goes on and on. A 60-year-old enrollee in Brown County, 156%. Chris, what should folks do if they are concerned that this is going to be bad for themselves, their neighbors, and all Americans writ large?
Realize that we are not trying to yell fire in the theater. There literally is a fire. There has been. We need them to, you know, deal with reality. Use the tools on the governor's site that put out. I'm sure you can put it in your notes. Look up your county. Look and see what your options are. I'm doing a roundtable next week, bringing in a broker with a computer, with retirees from Pierce. Look yourself up. Have your broker look you up and tell you the answer, snapshot it, and send it to your congressional leaders. Again, I don't care what side of the aisle they're on. They need to see that it's you. You may have supported them in their run. If they don't hear from you to realize it's affecting you, they think it's all conjecture. It's not. These are real dollars, real kitchen tables, real families. I don't care red, blue, or purple. We have a problem that must be addressed.
And it must be addressed now, not in 6 months when Republicans decide they might get around to it. And it cannot be fixed by some year extension of the subsidies, which is about as cynical of a political ploy and a distractionary measure that I've seen in a while from Republicans, because what will that year do? It'll get them through midterm accountability with their constituents. That's not good enough. We should all be saying that together. We're going to put the link to the calculator so that you can see what might be happening to your premiums if you got a family member that you know might be getting their insurance through the ACA exchanges. Check this out. We'll put the link to that calculator through the OCI on our show notes today. As Senator Kristen Dossler-Offheim has indicated from the Fighting 18th Senate District. Chris, thanks for keeping us abreast of what's happening and smarter and more informed as we seek to hold government accountable so that it works for us regular people. When we come back, everybody, Sound Off Monday continues. You can get in on the action. Of course, I got a boatload of headlines that we got to get to. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Phone and text lines are open. Let's talk about it on this Monday edition of Sound Off right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to Senator Kristen Dossler-Offheim of the 18th State Senate District here in Wisconsin. She has really been on top of and has been trying to bring into our collective consciousness the scale and scope of this problem. It is a sort of slow-moving catastrophe that we're looking at right now. And there is something that can be done about it. And it's not for the MAGA party to say, hey, everybody that's about to lose health insurance, just wait a little while. I'm sure we'll be coming up with a plan soon. They've had the 4 years in Trump 1.0. They've had the 5.5 years since Trump 1.0 to come up with whatever they think should replace the Affordable Care Act. And we have everyone together now. Nothing from the MAGA party about how they propose to solve the healthcare problems. Truly sad. We got Jack from Merrimack on the line. Jack, thanks for being with us on this Sound Off Monday. What you got for us?
Well, I have a suggestion for dealing with the healthcare situation. It won't be an immediate help, but you know, this might take a minute or two to explain. we obviously, I think, need to expand Medicare somehow. And how are we going to finance that? Well, we can start gradually over time transferring the money paid for all those who have company-paid medical benefits to Medicare and just continuing the benefits with Medicare. And it should be cheaper since Medicare has about a 2% administrative cost compared with 20% insurance companies. Next, take that extra 18% and insure a few more people with it, starting at the Medicare age limit and going on down. And then enact reasonable price controls for pharmaceuticals. I believe that was done with insulin. And also make it unlawful for these big companies to buy up current old school pharmaceuticals and just jack up the prices like the several hundred increase that happened with the EpiPen. And that should make even more money available. And finally, with most of our medical insurance in the hands of one major and pretty successful and cost-effective agency, have Medicare continue to negotiate prices just like all the other insurance companies, but with increased bargaining power. Now, we already pay twice as much per person as any other country in the world for medical costs. Statistically, we have not got better outcomes, and many of our statistics are worse than some of these countries. And this might reduce the cost so there's even enough money to cover everybody. So as an economist, what do you think of the idea? That's the question.
Yeah, Jack, thanks so much for this. What you're talking about is really the concept of a single-payer health insurance program, not necessarily single provider, but a single payer. And what you're talking about is, in effect, getting to where the ACA has been trying to fill a gap, right? But the gap that it's trying to fill, meaning people that do not obtain health insurance through their employers, whether they are disabled and you have Medicaid, whether they're at or beyond retirement age, you've got Medicare plus the ACA, they're a small business owner, they're a gig worker, they're a full-time caregiver. This is all gap filling for the application of a for-profit business model in something that has never worked well as a for-profit business model, and that is healthcare. The reality of the matter is every single American, every single human being demands healthcare at unequal, very divergent points of time in your life. As you're younger, when you're quite young, right, when you're being born and for the first few years of your life, you need more health insurance, right? More health care, I would say. As you get into your, if you're fortunate enough to not have health issues, that middle part of your life, you know, absent broken bones or some statistically less likely phenomena, you're not going to need as much health care. But we all then need extraordinary amounts of health care as we age and we end up with chronic conditions. Yeah, those pesky pre-existing conditions. So healthcare is something that is universally demanded, albeit at very different demand levels and risk levels throughout your entire life. Applying a for-profit business model on top of what is universally needed is a sure way to lock in all kinds of bad incentives. And that includes what is in effect blind pricing decisions. You know, part of what the Biden administration attempted to do was require a lot more transparency. But the prevailing sentiment for nearly every person that I've ever seen try to negotiate or deal with health insurance companies is you get a shocking bill. Wait a minute, why isn't this covered? What pre-approval process? Why is this one drug so expensive, but I need it to live? This model fails Americans, and it's why every single other peer country in the world has moved away from for-profit healthcare provision, because that doesn't work. And Republicans' failure, their general disposition that, like, the government is the root of all evil. Yeah, except when you need things like clean air, clean water, I don't know, a national defense, garbage pickup, snow removal. You know, these big, big things that we all need. And it is in this knee-jerk presumption that government can never do anything well and that the private market solves all things. Well, the private for-profit capitalist model of healthcare has failed us all. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. And yet, what do we have from the MAGA wing? Crickets when it comes to what the actual plan is. We are talking about a way to ensure that all of us who universally need healthcare can universally get it. It becomes cheaper for all of us to do so. We're going to continue with the day's headlines. Got to talk about Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Big announcement today. We've got that and other headlines coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it is Sound Off Monday, where you get to sound off on whatever you'd like. Hearing a bunch on the text lines from folks that are very concerned about finding out what their ACA exchange obtained health insurance premiums might be come November 21st. We want to hear from you. We want to hear about your family stories, whether it has to deal with the big brutal bill, the ACA subsidy withdrawal, which the big brutal bill made happen. You can call us at 855-755-0771. That's 855-755-0771. Or you can email us to tell us your family story at wematter@civicmedia.us. That's wematter@civicmedia.us. For the rest of the show, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Of course, I've got headlines and news that pop to the top of my mind this afternoon. And one of those big news stories today is this. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin will resume abortion services nearly a month after pausing them to assess how to comply with Donald Trump's new tax and spending law, which bars clinics that provide abortion from receiving any Medicaid funds for other services. I want to be very, very clear here that for decades and decades, it has been the law in the United States that no federal tax dollars can be used to fund abortion services. Long-standing law, that is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the fact that the big brutal bill, despite the fact that, for example, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin provides all kinds of essential life-saving health care that is not abortion. I'm talking about prenatal care, breast exams, early mother wellness checks if someone is pregnant, all sorts of OBGYN services. Huge swaths of has nothing to do with abortion health care that Planned Parenthood also provides. Yeah, that's what the GOP, that's the funding that they yanked. Has nothing to do with federal dollars going to abortion care. What they're saying is, oh, if you also provide abortions, which we disagree with, then even if your state, remember that states' rights thing? Yeah, even if your state permits legal abortion, you can't get any federal tax dollars for any of the other completely not abortion-related essential life-saving health care that you might provide. Planned Parenthood moving forward, it will essentially relinquish its essential community provider status, which allowed it to receive some Medicaid funds for these other non-abortion related services. CEO Tanya Atkinson said services and costs should remain stable, though ultimately the funding impacts are unknown. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, it is a specific, intentional defunding of organizations, as well as the ACA, that help regular people who may not have health insurance through their employers or because they work multiple part-time jobs, get insured, get access to healthcare. Here again is the GOP literally burying its head in the sand, saying, I don't want to deal with reality. I want to create these false boogeymen and attack those false boogeymen so I can dismantle the programs and the funding sources that enable working poor and working families who fall through the gaps of our for-profit healthcare system in this country that helps them get insurance. It is not about the little guy. It is not about regular people. It's about tax breaks and handouts and corporate welfare for mega corporations and the billionaire class. That is who they care about. Just look at the impact of their policies as opposed to their rhetoric. David from San Francisco, welcome to the show. What you got for us this afternoon, sir?
Oh, thanks, Maggie. I was on a different topic, but the Planned Parenthood, though, I'm old enough to remember when they pretty much got started. A girlfriend of a friend of mine in high school got pregnant, and she had to, secretly go off to some mysterious doctor somewhere, and there was blackmail potential. You know, at that time, this was when it was still illegal. This was before 1972. Yes. And as soon as she got back, she got pregnant again. And my God, that just stirred up any number of hassles within that whole family. But Planned Parenthood was a very courageous organization at the time. And I'm trying to remember if they cautiously acknowledged that they were giving abortions just so they could take it to the Supreme Court, just so they could be test cases. And when it starts, when you start looking at abortion and organized crime, you know, before it was made illegal, there are any number of different books that talk about the blackmail potential that was used. In fact, there's a Frank Sinatra biography by Kitty Kelly. And it in the opening chapter, it talks about Frank Sinatra's mother was one of the biggest abortionists in, she was based in New Jersey, but she was one of the wealthiest women in the world in the United States at the time because of blackmail. That not only could you, give an abortion, but you'd get a free extortion. And that all sorts of people were blackmailed, politicians, mistresses of millionaires, Hollywood starlets, all sorts of different people that were being blackmailed. And it was horrible for the economy. But what made it worse was that if there was a general who had a mistress and had an abortion, then the top secrets could be available to organized crime. Is part of the blackmail, they'd have to give up top secrets. And
the sad part about your observation, David, is when you look to a state like Texas, who basically has legalized roving abortion ban, marauding citizens to rat out their fellow citizens who they suspect may have obtained an abortion. Like, that's where we're at. It is creation. Not only, you know, extortionary materials, but they're trying to build in incentives into state laws for other people, your neighbors, your coworkers, to police women's bodies and periods in states where abortion is illegal. It's downright Margaret Atwood, Handmaid's Tale weirdness right now.
I mean, that attorney general down there, Paxton, he's basically organized crime himself. And when you look at that fund, I think there's a $10,000 bounty. You know, each woman that has an abortion or they even suspect that she has an abortion, there's a $10,000 bounty for snitching her out. Well, what about the fund? Because if you pay a snitch, is that taxable? Or is it under the table kind of money? And I suspect that Paxton is basically stealing that money. He's coming up with cockamamie names and then paying out $10,000 bounties to unknown people. And
yeah, there's in that kind of a system, David, there is a lot of potential for gross civil rights abuses. Folks, if you're not familiar with Ken Paxton's sordid history of corruption, do yourself a favor this Monday afternoon. do a 5-minute like little Google search on Ken Paxton. He is arguably one of the most corrupt sitting state attorney generals in the country right now. At least that is what the allegations and numerous criminal cases have been about. Criminal cases being brought in the state of Texas by other Republicans, which is always notable when it's the Republicans going after other Republicans. You know you've got some rot. Charles from Milwaukee, you're up next, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon, Maggie. My sound off is on just the blatant cheating that's going on. You know, the 2024 election, presidential election, it was about 4 million people taken off the voting rolls a couple of weeks before election time. You look at the gerrymandering. There's a time limit at when that should be done. Well, they decided they know they're going to lose the midterm. So Trump calls in some governors and say, hey, I need for you guys to, you know, help me
cheat,
scam the system so that I can not have to deal with the Democratic Party, the House, come the 26th midterms. And if your platform is that great, and your platform is helping all American people, whether they voted for you or not, why do you need to cheat? And why aren't conservatives asking that same question of that politician? Why do we need to do underhanded things to beat the Democratic Party? If we're saying the Democratic Party is so weak and they don't have good ideas, then why are we cheating to beat them? Because it's not happening like that on the Democratic side. Yeah, you may have some gerrymandering.
Yeah, Democrats haven't engaged in mid-decade gerrymandering. They're doing so in response to the mid-decade cheat that is coming from the MAGA party. Kelvin, if you can cue up cut 16 here. This is so what Charles just pointed out, everybody, you have to see also in the broader context. First of all, if you want to spend another 10 minutes going down a Google rabbit hole on the fact that the GOP has acknowledged out loud many times that voter ID and all this election integrity stuff. Yeah, this is cut 16, Cal Hegseth. Yes, that the voter ID, all of the voter election integrity stuff, that's about suppressing the votes of young people, disabled people, and black and brown folks. That's thing one. Thing two is obviously the mid-decade gerrymander is supposed to basically rob people of the right to choose their representatives based on the maps as drawn after the decennial census. That is an obvious cheat. But what's also happening is the Trump Department of Justice trying to get their hands on what? Voting machines and voter rolls, right? Many states cooperating with them, installing conspiracy theorists from that were aligned with Trump in the 2020 election into key oversight and election administration offices. You've got a MAGA operative that has now bought Dominion voting systems. You have all of that going on. Oh, yeah, and Donald Trump may be authorizing a 50-state strike force of National Guard and or military. You know, we'd be about a year out from those midterm elections right now. Wonder what that is about. Cal, let's roll the tape. Here's Pete Hegseth being asked directly about this and basically admitting that the plan exists.
Sir, for Secretary Hegseth, sir, a memo circulating on social media details the establishment of a National Guard response force that's going to be trained in crowd control and civil unrest and deployed in all 50 states by April of 2026. Can you verify the authenticity of that memo, and do you have any more information on the operations?
I'm not going to answer particulars on something that may be in the planning process, but we definitely do have multiple layers of National Guard response forces, whether it's in each state, whether it's regionally, whether it's Title 10 active duty, whether it's Washington, D.C. We've got a lot of different ways.
So to get this straight, ladies and gentlemen, as we approach the midterm elections in 2026, remember the history of voter suppression of the modern MAGA party. Remember that they're trying to seize voting machines, that a MAGA lackey bought Dominion voting systems, that they're trying to get voter logs, and oh yeah, they've got a plan to deploy the National Guard in all 50 states. I wonder what that's all about. Nothing to see here, though. Stay with me. More headlines, and you're sounding off when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great guest coming up for everybody at 5 o'clock. He's a frequent guest on the program, friend of mine, a friend of yours. He is the chief economist for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, Benga Ajilore. We're going to be talking about the continued, scattershot would be a nice way of putting it, Trump tariff taco terror policy. It's not a policy. It's just random. His upcoming possible meeting with President Xi of China. We're going to talk about what is going on with the shutdown, as well as the Fed's upcoming interest rate announcement and how that relates to the ongoing question of whether or not the tariff terror is leading to greater inflation and what the Fed is really worried about at this point in time. All that coming up with Chief Economist Benga Ajilore at 5 o'clock. So don't go anywhere. We're going to close out this hour of Sound Off with Maggie Dawn. We got time for a couple more callers. You want to get your two cents, nickel, dime, or quarter worth in 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Hey, Joe in Madison, what you got for us this afternoon?
Earlier on, and I hope you return to her, I am horrified when I think about the hammer that's going to be coming down to my fellow citizens in Wisconsin in terms of costs, in terms of medical insurance. I'm just horrified. And I wanted to pass on one little tidbit for people. The question comes up in kind of expanding on what Jack had said about going to a Medicare for All or a public option, but I'm going to focus on Medicare for All. There was an article out of Public Citizen that had the title, Medicare for All would cut trillions from our budget. And the amazing thing in it, Maggie, is they quoted various think tanks looking at this, and one of them is called the Mercatus Center, M-E-R-C-A-T-U. It is funded by the Koch brothers. And this think tank, funded by the Koch brothers, said that if we went to Medicare for All over a 10-year period, we would save $2 trillion. The most conservative organization walking the planet says we would save money by going for Medicare for All. So think about that, folks. As we're looking about this tsunami that's going to be hitting us in this juggling act to keep our current wounded bird, in flight, it ain't working. We need Medicare for All, and that's where we should go. Thanks.
Yeah, the economics bear out what Joe's saying in spades, right? When everybody is insured, or when we at least have health insurance, health care for everyone, it costs everybody less. People get preventative care, which helps prevent chronic disease. It helps when you have a chronic disease, catch things before those diseases accelerate. It is good for everybody. It's good for the bottom line. And yet, if your brand, as the MAGA GOP has been for 20 years, government is bad, 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 and if anybody ever benefits from a program, it means that they're bad, 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 lazy, bad, whatever it is, it becomes really hard to actually look at the facts surrounding something like Medicare for All and have a fact-based economics based conversation about what would actually, with less money, get us better outcomes. Shouldn't that be the point? But again, if you're not really interested in solutions or even proposing them, it's a little bit hard to have a conversation about true economic reality. Here's Ollie from the Northwoods. Hi, Ollie, what you got for us?
Well, I'm just wondering why people are seeing on TV their president dancing around like a clown in another country when he should be here taking care of business and taking care of the people who need his help. He could have signed, there is a contingency fund that would allow for SNAP to be paid
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in, Ollie, because we're running short on time. Thanks for this. We're going to talk about that contingency fund that would help continue to fund the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, aka SNAP, here in the state of Wisconsin, known as Food Share, that millions and millions and millions of Americans use to keep food on the table. Yep, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is sitting on $5+ billion in contingency funds. And don't believe Mike Johnson or any other Republican on national news right now, because they're saying, like, legally, we can't use it for that. Yeah, well, according to the USDA a month ago, the USDA was saying, yeah, we can use the contingency fund to help fund SNAP through a shutdown. But they've now deleted that opinion from the USDA's website because it doesn't fit their current political plan to blame Democrats for, let's see here, checks notes, everything that's wrong with the country or anything wrong in the world, and checks notes claim that they are the only ones with any solutions. Checks notes, except for not having any solutions at all to point to. Yes, folks, that is the MAGA brand these days. No solutions, only accusations, only credit for the MAGAs, and only blame for anybody else that disagrees with them. And, you know, a fair amount of name calling to go into the mix. Yes, I looked this up. I found the old USDA opinion that was on its website until a month ago that said, yep, they can use the billions in contingency funds in the USDA budget to help fund SNAP. Of course, now the White House has changed its tune. By the way, just as a reminder, earlier in the shutdown, the Trump administration happily redirected funds from other programs to fund veterans' paychecks. The thing that they're saying they can't do now with SNAP funding. Make it make sense. My next guest is going to help me do just that. We got Chief Economist Benga Adjelori coming up next. He's with the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. We dig into the shutdown, to Donald Trump's Asia tour, and to inflation and the interest rate announcement coming up from the Fed. So don't go anywhere. The news and economic insights continue. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.